Oh, what a quarter it has been. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. On this, the 31st of March, 2017, the last day of the quarter, it's a good time to look back. So far in 2017, the Dow is up almost 5%, the S&P is up 6%, the NASDAQ is up almost 10%. Not bad, but boy, what a ride we have had. Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York, joins us.
Well, from a market perspective, it has been a really turbulent, difficult quarter, partly because it's been a difficult, turbulent season in Washington. It was difficult for a few reasons. Of course, gridlock in Washington, which honestly, in hindsight, maybe we all should have known the end of gridlock trade was too good to be true. But also a tightening Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve has increased the pace of rate hikes from once a year to once a quarter, and that affects company balance sheets as well.
One thing that we've learned this week, speaking of the market rally, at least after the election, is that banks are making less on trading equities, 13% among the biggest banks, 13% less. What's going on there?
It's no longer possible to trade without thinking about it first. Fourth quarter trading revenues in equities were high because the banks themselves were able to safely predict the direction of trade, and that also made investors more comfortable. And as a result, the volume of trading was significantly higher. And in addition to that, it also became more difficult to make money in the bond market because, thanks to the Fed, it's a rising rate environment. And when rates go up, bond prices go down.
Are banks suffering from a long-term drop in equity trading, something that's not just a month-long fall, but is there a long-term trend that's causing banks to make less money on equity trading?
Absolutely. Bank trading revenues have been in decline since 2010 because of the Volcker Rule, which was part of Dodd-Frank, ensures that banks take a lot less risk in their trading activities. They no longer take big speculative positions.
Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Sabri. Have a great weekend.
Trade was one of the signature campaign issues for President Trump. For him, the fact that the U.S. runs a trade deficit with other countries, meaning we buy more than we sell, is a sign of weakness. Many economists would disagree. This morning, the president is kicking off his trade policy agenda with two executive orders. One will call for essentially a research project. Look at the trade deficit and see whether and when it's being caused by other countries' unfair trade practices. The other asks the government to look for potential dumping by other countries and increases the enforcement ability of the U.S. government to do something about it. To take a closer look, we have Noel Maurer, Associate Professor of International Affairs and International Business at George Washington University. Noel, has the U.S. been particularly weak or blind-eyed to dumping in the world somehow? Dumping meaning selling products unfairly and cheaply in the U.S.?
My impression is no, but you never know. I mean, it's like with all laws. When you can enforce them against the most egregious offenders, or you can try and micro enforce them, right? I mean, how many times have I committed a parking violation without realizing it because the parking laws in DC are not that strictly enforced? So I'm hesitant to make a prediction. Economically, it won't be significant, but they might be able to find some incidents or companies or events that they can then, quote, punish, unquote, and make a lot of political hay from.
The first part of this order is an attempt to look at our relationship with trading partners to see if they're, quote unquote, taking advantage of us and whether that is the cause of our trade deficit, the fact that we buy more than we sell abroad. Is being taken advantage of really a major cause of our trade deficit?
No. That said, with China, you can almost certainly find some egregious practices. On the other hand, it's also true that Chinese companies retain much more vulnerable to anti-dumping actions by the U.S. government than companies from other countries.
During the campaign, President Trump was very vociferous on trade, very much complained about our trade deficit, threatened border taxes and tariffs. And now we're starting to see these executive orders, which really amount to let's look into it. We've also learned that in terms of renegotiating NAFTA, his demands appear to be fairly mild, according to what's being circulated on Capitol Hill. Are we seeing a softening of Trump's stance on trade?
Softening is too weak a word. It's dissolving into mist. This strikes me as the president trying to do the minimum to be able to claim to himself, as well as to diehard followers of his who don't really care what he actually does, and not an actual serious move towards protectionism.
Noel Maurer is Associate Professor of International Affairs and International Business at George Washington University. Noel, thank you.
Thank you very much.
A former banker with Jefferies Group was fined $46,000 by UK regulators for passing along confidential client information to his friends. In 2016, Christopher Niehaus leaked information about WhatsApp to his friend who was working for a WhatsApp competitor. Niehaus told regulators he was just trying to impress his friends. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.